Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Tuesday class, March 14th, 2023, Joel.
All right, one announcement before we get started. Tomorrow night after class, there will be a teacher's meeting. Tomorrow night after class, short, tall, doesn't matter if you're all in there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer, giving you the privacy of your priesthood, the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this article by Hal Lindsey is a great introduction to our Tuesday night class, which is the book of Joel, and the theme of the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord includes the seven-year tribulation period and the second advent and the millennial kingdom. This article deals with what will describe the people during the tribulation period and at the second advent. The title of the article is Torment of the Righteous Soul. The Bible gives amazing promises of peace and joy to those who believe in Jesus Christ. The Christian life is a life of renewal and refreshment. To be redeemed in Christ is exhilarating and at the same time peaceful, inner peace. John 14:27, the Lord said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The peace that Jesus gives is based on Himself. It never changes. It is totally different than what the world gives. And at the time we live in right now, there is more and more torment of soul in souls of believers all throughout this United States of America. We are a nation on the precipice of falling off the cliff. You're going to see things you've never seen in your life in the next few months and years. We brought it on ourselves. The United States of America has no one to blame but ourselves. Our own arrogance, our own evil, our own turning away from God and the Word of God. And God is holy. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And because He is holy, He has promised that through His Word, the five cycles of national discipline. And we are right in the fourth cycle of national discipline and approaching the fifth cycle of national discipline, the removal, the destruction of the client nation to God. How much longer we're going to be a client nation? Well, I don't know. God does. But right now we're ready on the verge of being totally destroyed and removed. And there's about 100 different ways that can happen. We're doing an excellent job destroying ourselves. Now you have banks, major banks in California, bankrupt. Bankrupt. California's bankrupt. The banks are bankrupt. You got your money in banks? Well, what happens when they close the doors? You're going to wind up, we're going to have people putting it under their mattress again. Pillowcases. We are on the verge of great, great national discipline. And, I mean, there's nations out there that would like to nuke us. And that may happen too. Russia could do it. China could do it. Korea could do it. And they would all love to do it. That would eliminate us. But we're doing a pretty good job ourselves without any interference from the outside. And it brings torment of soul. Just watching what's on TV. Looking at the degeneracy of the United States of America, there are times I look at TV and I get sick inside. I think I'm living in Sodom and Gomorrah. We're so degenerate, so evil. We deserve whatever God brings our way. We certainly deserve it. I can't watch regular TV. I like watching sports. I like watching athletics. But then they take a break and have a commercial, and I'm looking at lesbianism. They're kissing each other, and that. Then the men are kissing each other, and I get sick. And I said, to hell with it. I'm not going to watch that either. I'm going to go to church and go to the happy place. This is the happy place. But you know what? We are living in a time today, things are so tough that people, believers, have lost their priorities of what really matters. And if Bible doctrine isn't your number one priority, and there are so many distractions right now because everything is collapsing. So we have believers that face-to-face Bible teaching isn't important at all. And then they think, I can't be in class, I got to do extra work, got to do this, got to do that, extra work, this and that. Well, then let me tell you something. Your opinion of God is that He is that big. He's only that big to you. I feel sorry for you. Because He's an infinite God. If you believe that, you live your life by that, you'll put God first and His Word first. Why? Then you're fulfilling the mandate that God has given to us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. That's the number, Jesus Christ said that's the number one mandate. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your heart, all your strength. And then that is the great motivating virtue that motivates impersonal love for all. But we have so many distractions today, and I watch believers, so-called doctrinal believers, succumb to the distractions. And they're distracted away from God and His Word. And you make the decisions. You got a free will. You can either choose for God and His Word, or you can follow the distractions. Satan's got all these distractions. The sin nature is sending temptation, 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 to try to distract you away from what is important. And today, believers are distracted away by their own free will. They have no one to blame but themselves. No one to blame but themselves. They are distracted away from what really matters. That's too bad. You would think through teaching and teaching and teaching, you get to the point to realize how big God is. How big our God is. How great He is. How infinite He is. He is the omnipotent God. And you don't think that He can provide for you perfectly, if you put Him first? Well, I feel sorry for you. So then Hal goes on, he says, how can anyone who has been made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ experience torment? And then he goes on, 2 Peter 2:8 speaks of Lot and the people of Sodom. It says that living there, Lot felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds. The King James Version says the corruption in Sodom vexed his righteous soul. The Living Bible says Lot was sick of the terrible evil he saw everywhere around him. In our day, it's easy to understand. We know what it is to be sick of terrible evil and lawless deeds all around us. To a large extent, today's societal institutions have stopped trying to restrain evil. Instead, those institutions now encourage the worship of evil. Like CBS and the Grammys, when they had a Satan song, said, "We worship, CBS, we worship Satan." Instead, those institutions now encourage the worship of evil. The damage being done is incalculable, especially to the little ones, the children among us. And that's why caring creates torment. But remember this, none of us is righteous because of who and what we are. Romans 3:23 describes our condition. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, come short of the righteousness and justice of God. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our self-righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. But according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, God gives to us His own perfect righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Our righteousness comes entirely from God, a gift from God at the moment of faith in Christ. Luke 19:41 says that as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. The context tells us that his righteous soul was tormented by the pain that he knew was headed their way, divine judgment, because they rejected him. Because they rejected him as the Messiah, the Savior. You might feel torment when you watch the news and see the increasing brutality of our world. It's easy to be vexed by the self-destructiveness encouraged by popular entertainment. The ongoing celebration of evil probably makes you feel sick. Does me. You're in good company. The Lord Himself shares your grief. Vexation comes with caring. But don't let it overwhelm you. Live in the peace and the joy that Jesus Christ provides. Remember Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You will not overcome evil by allowing it to depress you. Romans 12:21 says, overcome evil with good. What is good there? Agathos, intrinsic goodness. It's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And it is good to walk in righteousness and peace and joy by the agency of the Holy Spirit, Romans 14:17. Joel. The last few weeks we have been studying the day of the Lord, and of course that is the theme of the book of Joel, the day of the Lord. It covers a 1,007-year period from the 7-year tribulation to the second advent to the 1,000 millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And we have been studying the day of the Lord and throughout the Old Testament and passages of the book of Revelation. The prophetic scriptures frequently have a near and a far fulfillment. And this is certainly the case in Joel chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, where we are, this last paragraph of chapter 1. Joel 1, 15 to 20, there, it applies in a near fulfillment, and it also applies to the far fulfillment. The near fulfillment is the locust invasion in Joel's day. The far fulfillment is the day of the Lord, and specifically the future great tribulation, which is the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. So in this paragraph, Joel 1, 15 to 20, it has both a near fulfillment, the locust invasion in Joel's day, but also a far fulfillment, the day of the Lord. Specifically, the great tribulation in the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. It will be a time of great destruction and devastation in Israel. And this destruction and devastation is divine judgment from the Almighty God, because He is holy. He is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God the Father permits Armageddon. Armageddon, where all the armies of the world are assembled by Satan, who is the ruler of the world and frantically trying to win the angelic conflict. And he brings in armies from all over the world into the Valley of Megiddo. The king of the north, Russia. The kings of the east, China, communist China. The kings of the south, the Pan-Arabic bloc. And the revived Roman Empire with the Antichrist, the world dictator. At least he makes himself up as the world dictator and declares himself to be God. And if you don't worship him as God, then you are executed. And we studied how in that 7-year tribulation period you have the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, and the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, proclaiming the grace gospel all over the world. And there will be multitudes who believe in Jesus Christ. Multitude will respond to the two witnesses and the 144,000 super evangelists. Multitude will believe in Christ. But they will refuse to worship the Antichrist as God. They will refuse to take the mark of the beast. And if you don't take the mark of the beast, then you are martyred, put to death, executed. Most of those who believe in Christ in the tribulation, most of them are martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ, because they refuse. When they see the abomination of desolation take place in the Holy of Holies, halfway through the 7-year tribulation period, and the Antichrist demands that the world worship him and take the mark of the beast, most of them will refuse to do it. And they will be martyred for their faith. Most of the population of planet Earth will be destroyed in the 7-year tribulation period. Almost the entire population. And when Christ comes back at the second advent, any unbeliever still living will be destroyed by Jesus Christ. They go into Hades. Torments and will be held there until the second resurrection and the great white throne judgment when they face Jesus Christ, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And Jesus Christ will deliver those few believers who survived the tribulation, and those few believers go into the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom begins with believers only, but very few. But there you have 1,000 years of perfect environment. Those few will multiply. And by the time we get to the end of the 1,000-year millennium, it'll be clogged all over planet Earth like it is now. And then we have the Gog-Magog revolution at the end. And the end of human history. And then the Lord Jesus Christ destroys planet Earth and the heavens. And that's why all these stupid people who think that global warming, climate change, we're destroying the world. How arrogant can you be? How are you, a little pea piddling, nothing do diddle dip dat dub diddy? How are you going to destroy what Jesus Christ created? There's only one person who's going to destroy the heavens and the earth, and that's the one who created it. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it by having a Hummer that uses gas. In fact, when they make all these things about that, I want to go out and drive my Hummer up and down everywhere. When I get gas, somebody yelled over, "How much gas does that thing use?" I said, "I don't care. I don't even pay any attention. It's the best vehicle I have ever owned, and it was made in America. Now they're made in China. I wouldn't have anything made from China. I mean, they gave us COVID. What else do you want them to give you?" Last time I took my Hummer in to get serviced, the guy says, "You know, you have over 320,000 miles on this thing." I said, "Yeah." He says, "You want to get a new one? How about an electric one? From China?" He goes, I said, "I wouldn't have anything from China." He started laughing. I wouldn't. And when I go shopping, I go looking for anything that's not made in China. America, it's almost hard to find anything made in America anymore. Philippines, yeah. Guam, I don't see anything made from Guam, but if they must have something. But the only person that can destroy this universe is the one who created it. We're not going to do it. How arrogant. That just shows you how arrogant we are. But you see, the Antichrist is going to use that to get worldwide power. Because he's going to save the planet. I got so mad at Christmas time, I have a certain store, Swarovski's. I like going to Swarovski's because it's glass. And that's affordable. I don't go into places where they have diamonds. That's not affordable. So I go in where they have beautiful glass, nice big pieces of glass. And I've always liked shopping there. And this last Christmas, I went in there and picked up some things. And I said, "I'd like these wrapped, please." "No, we can't do that." I says, "Why can't you do it?" "Because we're saving the planet. You can't wrap my present because you're saving the planet." "Yes, because we're using paper and all this stuff. I said, you know, I always liked this door. Until now. And I will never walk in here again as long as you're that stupid. I thought of many different adjectives to go in there. You're not saving anything. You're just demonstrating how stupid you are and how full of evil you are. And we're not going to destroy the planet. Only Jesus Christ will do that because he's the one who created it. So it will be a time of great destruction and devastation in Israel. The destruction and devastation is divine judgment from the Almighty God. God the Father permits Armageddon. All the armies of the world assembled in the Valley of Megiddo. The king of the north, the kings of the east, the kings of the south, and the revived Roman Empire with the Antichrist. And this is divine judgment from the justice of God for the apostasy and destitute spiritual condition of the people of the world. Joel 1:15 says, woe with respect to that day, because the day of the Lord is near. In fact, it will come as devastation and destruction from the Almighty God. Now, this rest of this paragraph, verses 15 to 22, remember all the way through this, has a near fulfillment in Joel's day. The locust invasion, and also a far fulfillment, the day of the Lord. Verse 16, is not the food cut off before your eyes? We have the interrogative ha, prefixed to the negative lo, plus the preposition negev, with the dual of the noun ayin, with the first person plural suffix, plus the noun okel with the nifal perfect of karat. We have the interrogative ha. That's H-A, ha. And ha tells us that verse 16 is a question. The objective negative lo is prefixed to the objective negative lo, looks like that, L-O, olive. And that slams the door. So, one, the devastation is so great, they have watched their food supply cut off right before their eyes. The devastation is so great, they have watched their food supply cut off before their very own eyes. The preposition negev N-E-G-E-D, negev. The preposition negev means in front of, inside of, before. And then we have with it ayin. That's ayin. A-Y-I-N. Ayin. And ayin is the Hebrew word for I. We have it in the dual. Can you figure out why? Unless you are the Cyclops, you have two eyes. The first person plural suffix, our eyes. Two, BDB, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 617, says, when you have negev before, followed by ayin, as we do in this passage, on the day of the Lord, it has the meaning to the mortification of. When you have Negev followed by Ayin, on the day of the Lord, it has the meaning of to the mortification of. 3. When you see such horrific destruction and devastation with your very own eyes, it causes great soul anguish and pain. Torment of soul. When you see such horrific destruction and devastation with your very own eyes, it causes great soul anguish and pain. Torment of soul. Okel. Aleph, O-K-E-L. Okel is the Hebrew word for food. The Hebrew word for food, and then the verb karat. K-A-R-A-T. Karat. And karat means to cut off. We have the nifal stem, which is the passive of the cal stem. The subject, the food, receives the action of being cut off right before our eyes, our very own eyes. 4, the devastation was so great, there was no food to eat. The devastation was so great, there was no food to eat. 5, it was a time of great famine and hunger. The food supply was destroyed right before their very own eyes. Corrected translation. Has not the food supply been cut off before our very eyes? This judgment was so great, it caused soul anguish, pain, mortification, as BDB put it. So, corrected translation, has not the food supply been cut off before our very own eyes? And then we have, yay, I'm glad. No, that's the King James translation. Obviously, that sucks. There's nobody cheering about this time. Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. This is the preposition men, prefixed to the construct form of bayith, plus the noun Elohim with the first person plural suffix, plus the noun simcha, plus the conjunction vav, prefixed to the noun gil. Now there's no word yea, so unless you have a King James Version, there's no word yea, so cross out yea. There's no word yea in the Hebrew. We have simcha, S-I-M-C-H-A-H, simcha. Simcha means joy, gladness. The conjunction vav is a continuative vav and correctly translated and. And then we have gil. G long I L. Gil. And gil means rejoicing, excitement, rejoicing. Now the verb karat, to cut off, also governs this second clause. It was in the first clause, but it also governs the second clause in verse 16. And then the preposition men, M-I-N, men. And men is a preposition of separation. And you translated separated from. Separated from. And then we have Mibbeth Eloheinu. Mibbeth Eloheinu, this is the contract form of Baith, the house of our God. The house of our God. So literally this says joy and rejoicing cut off, separated from the house of our God. Again, the verb karat also governs this second phrase in verse 16. Therefore, they have not only seen their food supply cut off before their very own eyes, but they have seen the abomination of desolation occur. And this has resulted in joy and rejoicing being cut off from the house of God. Why? Because the Antichrist has gone into the Holy of Holies and declared himself to be God and demands to be worshipped as God. So they have not only seen their food supply cut off before their very own eyes, but they have also seen the abomination of desolation occur. And this has resulted in joy and rejoicing being cut off from the house of God. Now, in verses 17 and 18, we have two results of the invasion of the king of the north. Two results of the invasion of the king of the north. Verse 17, the loss of crops. In verse 18, the loss of cattle and sheep. And this means great economic disaster accompanies the military invasion. And that will result in famine, starvation, and hunger. So verse 17, the seed is rotten under their clods. We have the plural of the noun peruda, plus the cow perfect of the verb abash, plus the preposition takath, plus the plural of the noun megrapa, with the third person singular masculine suffix. First of all, we have peruda. Let's get that off there. There we go. P Shiva R U D A H. Peruda. And Peruda means, in the singular, grain of seed, we have the plural, seeds of grain. So it means seeds of grain, and then the verb abash. Ion. A-B-A-S-H, abash. And abash means to contract or to shrivel. We'll use the word shrivel. And then the preposition takath. T-A-C-H-A-T, takath. Takath means under. The object of the preposition is the plural megrapa. M-E-G-R-A-P-A-H, megrapa. Megrapa literally means a shovel. It comes from the verb garaf, which means to shovel or to scoop away. Corrected translation, the seeds of grain have shriveled under the shovels. Under their shovels. The seeds of grain have shriveled under their shovels. When the farmers dug into the ground, the shovels uncovered seeds of grain that had not germinated. Why? They haven't germinated. Because no water. extreme drought. This further confirmed verse 16, they saw with their very own eyes that their food supply has been cut off, causing great soul anguish and pain. The tribulation will be a time of great famine and hunger in Israel. The seeds of grain have shriveled under their shovels, shriveled up because no water. And then it says in the King James, the garners are laid desolate. This is the niphal, perfect, of the verb shamaim, plus the plural of the noun otsar. Aleph, long O-T-S-A-R, otsar. All right, a couple things on otsar. Literally, otsar means treasure. It means treasure. Two, first of all, it was used of gold and silver and precious metals. Gold, silver, and precious metals. Three. Then it was used for a treasure house or a treasury. The place where you store the gold and silver and precious metals. Then it was used for the treasury, a place where you store the gold and silver and precious metals. Four. Then it was used for a storehouse that stores up food. And then we have shamaim. S-H-A-M-E-M. Notice the two different mames. When it's in the middle of the word, the mame looks like this one here. When it's at the end of the word, it looks like this one here. We have shamaim. Couple of things. One, in the cow stem, shamaim means to desolate. To desolate. Two, in the niphal stem, which is what we have, and the niphal stem is the passive of the cal stem, it means to receive the action of being desolated. To receive the action of being desolated. To be desolated. To be in ruins. Three, this results in causing great torment of soul. Soul torment and pain. Four, the treasury has been ransacked. All the gold and silver has been stolen. By all of these armies coming into the Valley of Megiddo, the Middle East. The treasury has been ransacked. All the gold and silver has been stolen. Five, the storehouses are desolated. There's no food in the land. The storehouses have received the action of being desolated. There is no food in the land. The perfect tense of shamaim is a prophetic perfect. And this is, you see this a lot in prophetical passages. A prophetic perfect test is it's already completed, good and done. The prophetic perfect views this future tribulational event to be so certain that it's already as good as done. The treasuries and the storehouses have been desolated. They have been ransacked and destroyed by the military invasion of the King of the North. And then we have the barns are broken down in the King James. This is the nifal perfect of the verb haras plus the plural of the noun mamgura. That's a good word, mamgura. Looks like this in the Hebrew. M-A-M-G-U-R-A-H. Mamgura. Mamgura means a granary. This is the place where grains are stored. Today we have grain elevators. In fact, my father and Dick Steele Company that he worked for his entire life, after he worked with the Corps of Engineers in World War II, he built grain elevators all over the Northwest. And that's what this is here. Mangura is a grain elevator. And then the verb harass H-A-R-A-S, harass. In the cow stem, harass means to throw down or to tear down. To throw down or to tear down. In the nifal stem, which is what we have, the passive of the cow stem, it means to be thrown down, to be torn down, to be destroyed. Once again, the perfect tense is the prophetic perfect, viewing this future event in the day of the Lord to be so certain it's as good as done. The grain elevators have been broken down and destroyed. The granaries or the grain elevators have been broken down and destroyed. That's the corrected translation. For the grain is withered. This is the conjunction ki plus the hifel perfect of the verb yabesh plus the noun dagon. Dagon. We have the causal conjunction ki. Ki, this is the causal conjunction correctly translated because, and then dagon. No, that's not it. That's what a lot of you were thinking when I said doggone. But wrong doggone. We have D-A-G-A-N. Doggone. And dagon is the Hebrew word for corn or grain. And then the verb yabesh, and that's the same verb we had in verse 10 and in verse 12. It means to dry, to be dried up, to be withered. This also teaches that in the day of the Lord, specifically the tribulation period, there will be a great drought. No rain. Yabesh means to dry up and wither away. The hifel stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew. They are caused to dry up and wither away. They are caused to dry up and wither away because of extreme drought and locusts in Joel's day and because of the military invasion of the King of the North in the day of the Lord. Near fulfillment, far fulfillment, all the way through this paragraph. So the corrected translation. The seeds of grain have shriveled under their shovel. The treasuries and storehouses are desolate. The granaries have been broken down and destroyed because the grain has been caused to dry up and wither away. Give that to you again. Corrected translation. The seeds of grain have shriveled under their shovels. The treasuries and storehouses are desolate. The granaries have been broken down and destroyed because the grain has been caused to dry up and wither away. And that brings us to verse 18. How do the beasts groan? Now we have the animal kingdom. We have the interrogative pronoun ma, joined by a makef to the nifal perfect of the verb anak, plus the noun behema. The interrogative pronoun ma. M-A-H, ma. Now the interrogative pronoun ma is used adverbially as an exclamation. So this is an exclamation, and Joel, in other words, is shouting, how? So this is an exclamation. How with exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. And it's followed by behema. B Shiva H E M A H. Behema. Behema is used in the Bible for domesticated animals, for cattle, sheep and horses. So this is, how now, brown cow? Just seeing if you're awake, because I'm you. Okay, it doesn't quite say that. But. And then we have the verb anak. Aleph, A-N-A-C-H, anak. One, anak means to sigh or to groan. To sigh or to groan. Two, this is sighing and groaning caused by physical distress and suffering. Sighing and groaning caused by physical distress and suffering. Three, the animal kingdom is suffering from the consequences of man's cosmic system function. The animal kingdom is suffering from the consequences of man's cosmic system function. Four, when the animal kingdom suffers, it expresses itself in groaning. It expresses itself in groaning. The nifal stem, again, is the passive of the cal stem. The subject receives the action of the verb. Because the animals are under great distress and suffering, they are groaning. Ma, oh, how they are groaning. Perfect tense, once again, prophetic perfect, viewing this as being so certain that the day of the Lord has already taken place. Oh, how the domesticated animals groan. The emphasis here is on domesticated animals, ranch animals. Now we move from the general to the specific. The herds of cattle are perplexed. This is the nifal perfect of the verb buk, plus the construct of the noun eder, plus the noun bakar. Eder looks like this in the Hebrew. I-N-E-D-E-R. Eder. Eder means herd or flock, depending on whether you have cattle or sheep. We have bakar. B-A-Q-A-R. Bakar. Bakar means cattle. So we have herds of cattle. And then we have the verb buk. That's B long U K, buk. Buk means to be perplexed, to be confused, and therefore it came to mean to go astray, to wander aimlessly. To go astray and wander aimlessly. The nifal stem is the passive of the cal stem. The herds of cattle receive the action of being confused and wandering aimlessly because of the devastation. Because of the devastation from the locusts in Joel's day, because of the military invasion, Armageddon, in the day of the Lord. Once again, the perfect tense is a prophetic perfect, looking forward to the day of the Lord and seeing this as so certain that it is as good as done. Oh, how the domesticated animals groan. The herds of cattle wander aimlessly. And then I thought maybe I'd get done with verse 18 too. That'd be a record for me, 3 verses in one night. But come back and we'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.